Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for choosing to worship with us today. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out, either drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, or just leave it on the information table on your way out. That just helps us to be able to have a remembrance of the fact that you were with us today. Hopefully you also received the bulletin, and so did everyone else. So if you have your bulletin, go ahead and open it up, and let's take a look at some of the things that are going on. Right after our morning worship service, we are going to be having Sunday school, and this will be the last Sunday school until after the first of the year. So if you haven't been joining us for Sunday school, I would recommend that you stay and join us for that. We have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adults, and so hopefully you'll stay and enjoy that time together with us. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Red Robin at noon, and that's the Red Robin on Milwaukee. So come and join us for lunch if you have that time available. Thursday night is Awana. It is You Choose Night. The kids know what that is all about, and so it'll be a great time. It's always a lot of fun. So next Sunday, December 21st, is the Christmas breakfast. So things here are going to be a little bit different. So we're going to have Christmas breakfast at 9 a.m. sharp. So if you're bringing food, if you signed up to bring food, maybe if you don't remember that you signed up or you don't remember what you signed up for, make sure that you check that on your way out. Have you signed up and to tell us that you're going to be here and how many are going to be with you? I'm glad that you've done that. If not, please make sure that you do that today so that we know how many to be able to plan for. So the clipboards are out on the information table with that. Also, then we will have our morning worship service. And then after our morning worship service, we will have our church family dinner. And this will give you an opportunity to be able to find out some things that have happened this year here around the church, and then give you an opportunity as a church family to affirm the 2026 church budget so that we can go into the new year already having a budget in place. So I hope you have that on your calendar as well. You'll see in the bulletin that on Wednesday, December 31st, is our New Year's Eve family fun. I hope you have that on your calendar as well. It's a time where we come together, we play a couple of group games, we have snacks, and you can stay as late as you want. You can leave as early as you want, but we want to encourage you to be able to come and join us for that. It is such a great, great time for us to be able to just, number one, be together as a church family. Number two, to be able to see in the new year. We don't have to stay till midnight to be able to do that, by the way, okay? And so I hope you have that on your calendar to be able to join us. Well, there's some other things in the bulletin that's important for you to be able to know. That's why it's important for you to be able to have a bulletin. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
I know that I am. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. We have lights on trees. We have lights in lighting up houses on the outside and on the inside. But you know, Jesus is really the light. Amen?
Amen?
But he gives us the opportunity to be his little lights. And he wants us to be able to shine them. So this morning, as we enjoy worship today, let's shine our lights for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go.
Would you all stand with me this morning as we begin? We're going to start with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Such mean estate where oxen ass are feeding. Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is bleeding. Nay, a spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. I'm going to read you some scripture. It is found in Isaiah 9. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore."
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for
You. We're here to bring you an offering not of things, but of us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. While angels sang to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due.
Ushers are going to prepare to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing you a new song.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Messiah, into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
And how long is forevermore? Oh, you're so good. God is good. Amen. All the time. Exactly. All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Sorry, I can't give you a preview of today's Children's Church like I did last week. But I'm sure it's going to be good, right? Yep. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that your Son is going to reign forevermore. You promised in Isaiah that his kingdom, his rule, his rulership will be forever and ever and ever. And someday we're going to be part of that forevermore if we believe in him. If we believe in him for the promise of eternal life, if we claim him to be our Savior. Father, we are so blessed. We have so much to be thankful for, especially during this time of Christmas. But not only this time of Christmas, but throughout our whole year, throughout our whole lives. So, Father, I just pray that you'll help us to be able to just pay attention to now what you want us to learn as we get into your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. Right, while they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. We're not going to be there for just a little bit, but we eventually will get there. So it's been shared with me that this series of Christmas messages has struck an important chord with many of you. So remember that our first message was that the heart of Christmas begins with joy. Last week, we talked about the fact that the heart of Christmas involves peace. And today, we're going to see that the heart of Christmas includes love. When God sent his Son to be born, it was the fullest demonstration of his unconditional love. And it was a priceless gift. And let's be honest this morning. As we celebrate Christmas Day with family and friends, there could be a gift that you have to figure out how to respond to without hurting someone's feelings. Maybe if you've already traded gifts with someone or you've received gifts from someone, you've already experienced that. How do I respond to this gift? Your brain may be saying, "What were they thinking?" But your words need to be carefully chosen. So I'm going to give you 8 ways to respond to a gift that may be less desirable. So we're going to start with number 8. Number 8, well, now there's a gift. Number 7, no, really, I didn't know that there was a chia pet tie. And wow, it's a clip-on. Number 6, you know, I always wanted one of these. How did you ever think of giving me this? Number 5, you know what? I'm going to find a very special place to put this. Number 4, boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. Number 3, and it's such an interesting color, too. Number 2, you say that was the last one? Am I glad that you snapped that baby up? Number 1, you shouldn't have. No, I really mean it. You really shouldn't have. All right, I hope this prepares you for every gift-receiving scenario. But today, I want to speak about a gift you don't have to rehearse a response for. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. And Christmas is the time that we celebrate its giving of this priceless gift. It is a gift that is priceless because it could never be purchased apart from Jesus' shed blood on the cross. It's a gift that is timeless because the grace of God is never ending. So the heart of Christmas includes love. So here's some things that I want us to be able to remember about this gift. First, God's gift was at the right time. Have you ever received a present from someone and you could not believe how amazing the timing was? Maybe because of something you were going through or because of a need that was met. It was as if the giver knew just exactly what your heart wanted. Those are the best kinds of gifts because they reach beyond our wants or our needs, and they reach into the very heart of our lives. Timing really is everything. And Paul talks about the timing of this Christmas gift as he wrote to the church in Galatia. Listen to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So what is Paul telling us? Paul is saying from the moment Adam disobeyed God, the clock started for just the right time when God would send forth his son to bring his redemption to sinful mankind. Paul wrote that when Jesus came and was born to Mary, the fullness of time had come. This was the right moment in his story. Notice what I did with the word history, his story, to send his son to display his love to the world. Tracy Howell of Texas found a unique way of showing her husband both her love and desire to participate in his daily life. She writes, Clifford and I have been married almost 41 years, and I've made his lunch every working day since day one. On occasion, I would join him on the job site and have lunch with him. He made the comment once that lunch tasted better when you share it with someone you love. Soon after that, while fixing his sandwich one night, I took a bite out of it before putting it away. When he got home, long before cell phones, he commented that someone took a bite out of his sandwich. I told him that since I couldn't join him for lunch, I took a bite. So he knew I was joining him. Isn't that sweet? I continued to do this frequently, unless it's tuna or pimento cheese. I get that. And he still says, saw you join me for lunch today, and it sure was good. Now, Tracy wanted her husband to know she wasn't just thinking about him. She was joining him in his daily experiences. She was with him. She was taking a bite out of whatever struggles or hardships he encountered. What is most amazing is that when Jesus came, he came just at the right time. Not too early, not too late. He came to meet our every need. When we are weak, he is strong. When we are poor, he uses his abundant resources to sustain us. When we fail, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us because he came at the right time. Here's the second thing. We are loved into God's family. According to Galatians chapter 4, the complete expression of God's love is demonstrated in our spiritual adoption when we believe in him for the promise of eternal life. Did you remember what it says? So that we might receive the adoption as sons, and may I also include as daughters. We became children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. We were given all the privileges of sonship and daughtership with God as our Father. And many of us live our lives every day missing the truth that God loves us. And when we overlook the truth that we have been adopted into his family, we have a tough time loving ourselves. And that develops in us a tough time loving others who are also valued and treasured by God. So the reason this aspect of Christmas love should not be missed or avoided is that it is central to us living to the full the lives that God wants for us. And Paul instructs us in all of the benefits of being in God's family and being recipients of his love in Ephesians. Hopefully by now you've found Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles. Let's read verses, starting in verse 3. I'm going to read down through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How do we get to be in Christ? By believing in him for the promise of eternal life, by believing that he is our Savior. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Notice this is by his grace. Not any grace I could do, not any grace you could do, not any work I could do, not any work you could do. It is by his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. If our redemption came by us, then it wouldn't have come through his blood. But because our redemption comes through his blood, it's not about us. It doesn't come through us. I know you all get that, but it's important for us to remember that. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, has a plan for the fullness of time. Well, there's that phrase again, the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory in him. You notice how many times Paul writes here, in him? Do you get the message? It's all what he's done. And if he's done it, then there's no reason for you to do any more for it. There's no reason for you or me to do anything to add to it or to take away from it. He's done it all. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of what? His will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and what? Believed in him. It doesn't get any more simpler than that, folks. It doesn't get any more clearer than that. We believe in him. We believe in him for the promise of eternal life. We believe in him as our Savior. That's why he came to this earth, was to be able to go to the cross so that we can know God's redemption. It doesn't get more, it's not complicated. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's not about doing a list of things that a church tells you you need to do. It's not about meeting with a pastor and being able to learn more and more about God's word. Once we believe in him, then we need to be learning more and more about God's word. Once we believe in him, then our lives change. We are a new creation. Behold, all things are new. And that which was old, we no longer have a part of our lives. We're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. What's this talking about? Our eternal life. It's our inheritance. And it's guaranteed by the promised Holy Spirit. And at the moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior, that Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And we are forevermore different. We don't live the way that we used to live. We don't think the way that we used to live. We don't follow the world. We follow God's word. We live out his instructions in our lives, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, the promise that we have for eternal life until we acquire possession of it, either through the avenue of death or the avenue of the rapture, to the praise of his glory. This isn't because we've done anything to deserve it. It's not because of any, so that we can go around boasting of how great we are. It's all because of what? In him we have these things. How many times did Paul say in just these few short verses, it's in him? If it's in him, can't be in me. If it's in him, can't be in you. Wow. So as part of God's family, we are made blameless in God's sight. You know, I've had people tell me when I've told them about the fact that all we need to do is believe for the promise of eternal life and what Jesus did for us on the cross. And people said to me, you know, that makes sense, but I can't do that. And it's like, why? And they say, because of all the things that I would have to give up in my life, which makes no sense to me. Because, folks, it's not about what we give up, as we've just read. It's all about what we get when we believe in him as Savior. As part of God's family, we are made blameless in God's sight, verse 4. Our sins are forgiven because of his love. God's will and way are made known to us, verse 9. We are sealed by the Spirit of God to guarantee the gift of eternal life as part of God's precious inheritance, verse 14. All of this is only made possible by the arrival of Jesus just at the right time. Not to give us a wonderful holiday to celebrate during a winter month, but just at the right time to one day sacrificially give his life on a cross to demonstrate God's amazing love for us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Here's the next thing. Love freely given is love freely received. Love freely given is love freely received. If Christmas doesn't tell us anymore, it should tell us that God's love was given freely to us by Jesus. And we need to what? We need to receive it. You need to receive it. If you're here this morning and you've never come to believe in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, you've never claimed him as your Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today. And you can do that right now. In the quietness of your heart, in the quietness of your mind. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to meet with the pastor. You don't have to find out what the list of do's and don'ts are. It's not about that. It's about believing. Believing that God loved you so much that he sent his son to this world. Yes, he was born as he took on human flesh in a town called Bethlehem, but eventually he went to the cross to be the Savior of the world, to be the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. The reason love is included in the heart of Christmas is because if we miss this being the central message of the season amid the decorations and presents, we may never receive it for ourselves. And here's the other side of the coin. If we've not experienced the grace of God, it is difficult to share the grace of God with others. If we do not know the compassion of God, it is difficult to express the compassion of God to others. But when we recognize the kind of love that God has for us, it becomes the way that we treat those around us. And the incredible thing about love, it is more about our will than an emotion. I'm going to say that again. The incredible thing about love is that it's more about our will than an emotion. And one of the most famous of all passages in God's word about love helps us understand God's feeling of love toward us and the love we should feel for our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, our neighbors. and even our church family. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of us know chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is what? The love chapter. So I'm going to read it. Follow along as I read it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And where do we find the truth? In God's word, in the Bible. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures our things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they're going to pass away. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up those childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is, what does it say? Love. So we can focus on all kinds of things, even good things, and miss the whole point if love is not our motivating factor. Love, like we have been given by God, should cause us to be patient and kind to one another. It should cause us to avoid being envious of one another or proud. Love drives us to honor others. When love is present, then we can avoid evil and rejoice with good. Does this sound like the love you have received from God? Does it sound like the love you display in your life? Now, the way that this passage might sound during Christmas would be like this. If I decorate my house perfectly with red and green bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny ornaments, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I work hard in the kitchen baking Christmas cookies, preparing delicious meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I serve Christmas dinner at the rescue mission, sing Christmas carols in a nursing home, and give all that I can to charity, but do not have love, it benefits me nothing. If I trim the tree with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a lot of Christmas gatherings, and sing the Christmas hymns in church, but do not focus on Jesus, I've missed the point. Love stops cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind even when busy and tired. Love does not envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. God has given his love and his spiritual blessings to us. And I hope this Christmas season, if you don't know his love, that it doesn't take you long to find it. God has given his love and his spiritual blessings to us, and he intends for us to appreciate, enjoy, and to live them out and are growing towards spiritual maturity. So what is it that I want you to take away from this message this morning? Let me just give you a few things. God's gift of Jesus was the ultimate gift of love. God's gift of Jesus is to be received, not neglected or ignored. God's gift of Jesus is to be shared and lived out in front of God and in front of others. Why? Because the heart of Christmas includes love. Father, I'm so thankful that you have given us this message this morning from your word to be able to remind us that the heart of Christmas includes love. Oh, yes, there's joy. Oh, yes, there's peace. But there needs to be love. And Father, I pray that this morning, just like these other two messages, that it will grip our hearts to the point that we understand and embrace and appreciate the gift of love that you gave to us. Father, your Son left the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth, to take on human flesh. He was born in a town called Bethlehem. But yet he grew to be a man. And as he was growing to be that man, he lived a sinless, perfect life so that he could go to the cross. So someday he could walk up that hill of Calvary. So that someday he could allow himself willingly to be placed upon that cross, to take the sin of the whole world upon him so that we could know your redemption. Father, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, you tell us that you demonstrated your love to us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, that is love. And Father, may we find what love really is if we haven't already this Christmas season. Father, help us to be able to take your love and to be able to receive it, to take your love and to share it and to live it out before others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song, Angels We've Heard on High?
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing.